So, coming back to how to segment a market and what are the essential steps that are involved in segmenting a market, these are as under. The first thing is broadly look at the market or a product category. Choose a method or a basis for segmenting the market. Select the parameters for segmentation. Once you have selected the parameters of segmentation, segment the market, profile and evaluate these segments on the basis of size, on the basis of potential, on the basis of growth. Select the segment that you wish to get into, which is called the target market. Design, implement, and maintain an appropriate marketing mix for the target segment. So this is the typical steps involved in market segmentation. So target marketing is the next decision a typical marketer has to take after the process of segmentation has been completed. Now, target market is the process of selecting those market segments which the company or the organization plans to enter into with a separate marketing mix or a separate marketing plan. The choice of the target segment, again, as I explained before, is based on the strengths and the weaknesses that an organization may have and the competitive intensity that segment faces from its competitors. So in target marketing, the factors that we consider: is the segment attractive? How does it measure on parameters like the size of the segment, the market potential, the growth of the segment, profitability, the competitive intensity, and what kind of economies of scale and risk are there in going into that segment? The second thing that the company typically looks at is investing in this segment consistent with the long-term growth and objectives of and the strengths and the core competencies of the organization. So this is the other factor which is considered while deciding on which target market to select. Evaluation of target markets is done on the basis of concentration and retreat. The logic is segments which are attractive and where the company's strength is very high, which means you map the strength of the company with the attractiveness of the segment and enter and concentrate on those segments. Where the segment is unattractive and where also the company's strength is low or the company has a weakness, you retreat from those segments. So decisions like entering a segment or going away from a segment or moving out of a segment are also the basis of target marketing. We have three broad strategies that an organization can look at for target marketing. What is called undifferentiated marketing, the second one is called differentiated marketing, and the third one is called concentrated marketing. What do you understand by this? We will explain in the next few minutes. So this is an example of an undifferentiated strategy. A company identifies a complete mass market and develops one marketing plan or one marketing mix targeted at the entire mass market. So, for example, if we were to look at ice cream as a market, and if we were to say the ice cream is segmented on two parameters, the level of sweetness and the level of creaminess, if 80% of the people want an ice cream or 70% of the market wants an ice cream which is slightly higher in sweetness than the average, then the company will focus on this 70% of the market and neglect the balance 30% of the market. The second approach which the company can have is what is called a differentiated strategy. In this, the company takes the same market and segments it into segment 1, segment 2, segment 3, up to whatever number of segments that can be identified comfortably in that market, and develops a marketing mix 1 to target segment 1, a marketing mix 2, which is the 4 P's of marketing, price, promote, product price based promotion for segment 2. It has a third marketing mix for segment 3. So this could be another approach that an organization can have for target marketing. The third approach that the company can have is what is called a concentrated strategy. In this, the company will segment the market into 1, 2, 3, up to n number of segments, and say it picks up segment 2 only for creating a product and the 4 P's of marketing to target this segment. In this case, the company is said to be creating what is called a concentrated targeting strategy. So, looking at this in a little more detail, which segment do I target and what approaches that a typical marketer can have for target marketing? The first thing is called the single segment concentration, which we saw on the earlier slide, the third category, single segment concentration. Now, it is paramount that when you get into single segment concentration, your knowledge of the customers and their needs is very, very good. You have very deep understanding of what the customer needs and wants are in a big way. The second important thing, you have good operating economies. Whether it is in the production, you have economies of scale there, or it is in distribution, you have economies of distribution over there. That means you have the reach in the market, a good reach in the market to be able to effectively exploit this market segment. Single segment concentration can give very good returns if you target leadership at the segment level. So you can pick up the segment and decide to be a market leader in that category. Risk of competitive trading, or if the segments needs change, or if the customers' requirements change, or if there's a recession in that segment, the risk of being in a single segment can therefore be very, very high. So this is the single segment concentration. The second approach that you can have, what is called multiple segment coverage or selective specializations. Here, the marketeer can select several segments based on parameters like potential, growth, attractiveness. The marketeer or the organization identifies each segment with a good profit potential. These segments may be synergistic or may not be synergistic with each other. The logic is that getting into several segments of the market simultaneously reduces the risk that the organization will face in case one segment doesn't do well, or in case the product in one of the segments doesn't do well. It keeps the indemnifies or ensures that the risk to the company is reduced and the long-term profitability and growth of the company is ensured. Product specialization is another approach which an organization can have to get into a target market. Typically, here the company will design and sell a product that is ideally required by several segments. So, for example, if we take Tally as an example of an accounting software, now this software of accounting can be used by organizations in the banking industry, can be used by organizations in the manufacturing industry, can be used by airlines, can be used by advertising agencies. So this is an example of a product that has been designed to be used in several segments. The only disadvantage in this category is the risk of technological obsolescence. So if you have another product which can be used, which can substitute this, then you run the risk of, you know, your product getting obsolete or becoming another player in the market. So another approach that can be used for target marketing is what we call market specialization. In this, the organization or the company identifies a group of customers whose needs they can increasingly satisfy with more products and more services. Market specialization uses the principle of CRM, where you try and sell more and more products to the same customer group. And the logic is to increase your wallet share with the customer and also to increase the customer lifetime value. Market specialization creates what we call economies of scope, unlike the other strategies which create what are called economies of scale. Now, In market specialization, the marketing infrastructure, whether it is the sales force or whether it is the distribution channel, the same sales force or the same distribution channel can be used to sell or pump in more and more products and services to the same set of customers, thereby reducing overhead costs and marketing costs of reaching out to newer customers. Focus of market specialization is customer retention, and there's not a very high focus on customer acquisition, though it is not that new customers will not be acquired. Market specialization creates highly customer-centric organizations who finally want to create a large amount of products and services which more and more customers can typically buy. The risk in market specialization is if this group of customers stop doing well or goes through a cycle of poor profitability, your entire revenue and profitability projections can go for a toss. So this is the only risk that an organization runs when it gets into what we call market specialization approach. Finally, full market coverage. The company decides to come and serve all customer groups with an end-to-end product offering. The approach here is to become a one-stop shop for all customers, for all customer requirements. This is a strategy which a very large organization with typically a large resource base can get into. So for example, IBM offers a full range of IT products and services. Similarly, Coke, Hindustan Unilever Limited, Colgate, etc. offer a range of products suitable for all the segments of the markets in which they operate in. And they try to become a one-stop shop for all their customers' needs. So this is the full market coverage approach to this thing. So let us look at full market coverage. One of the other ways of full market coverage is what we call undifferentiated marketing. Differentiated marketing also looks at full market coverage by looking at different marketing mixes for each segment of the market, whereas undifferentiated marketing looks at the entire market as one homogeneous whole, and the company or the marketeer ignores the small differences in customer needs and wants and focuses on making one single offering to the market. Now, this approach typically focuses on what we call mass production, mass distribution, mass advertising. A, it cuts cost and makes selling lot more easier. The other thing which the marketeer in an undifferentiated marketing does is to create a superior product image or a higher brand value, so that areas where it is not satisfying these small customer clusters are overlooked by the customer because of their desire to own the brand or experience the brand. Now, undifferentiated marketing is the marketing counterpart of what we call standardization and mass production. It is a difficult thing to sell a single product to all customers having different needs, but there are companies who do that. The other strategy is the differentiated marketing, where the company creates several products for several different segments and does not ignore the small differences in the customer needs and wants by creating these different product categories. Now, whether you should use differentiated marketing approach or an undifferentiated marketing approach depends on how your organization is structured, what are the kind of resources your organization has, what are the strengths, weaknesses, and the core competencies of the organization, what is the level of competition in each of the segments, etc. Typically, it has been observed that differentiated marketing lands up creating more sales than an undifferentiated marketing. Two, differentiated marketing ensures that the company or reduces the risk of operation of the company. If one product category doesn't do well, the other product category or the other segment continues to do well. Undifferentiated marketing, because you are launching a single product and if there are problems with the product, the risk of losing business becomes very high. However, differentiated marketing increases the cost of doing business, and the following costs are impacted in a big way. The first cost that is impacted is the R&D cost. In differentiated marketing, R&D costs are much higher than undifferentiated marketing. The product modification cost is higher. The production cost increases because the variety of products manufactured has gone up. Therefore, spare parts, components required to make this larger variety of products increases. The administrative cost, the inventory carrying cost, and also the promotion cost increases in differentiated marketing. So while you may get higher sales, there are costs also which get impacted, and therefore the company has to weigh very carefully the pros and cons of the cost rise versus the incremental increase in the revenue, and then decide whether it should go in for a differentiated marketing or undifferentiated marketing. Another approach which a company may have is the process of penetrating a market by entering one segment at a time. So in this, what the company does is typically using differentiated marketing, but it is also combining the advantages of getting into one segment in a sequence. So it will pick up one segment which is the most attractive, enter that segment, consolidate in that segment, then target the next segment with further differentiation or different product offerings. This is exactly the approach that Maruti used when they came into India. Maruti started many years ago in India, almost two and a half decades back, and it came with two products in the Indian market, which is the Maruti 800 and the Omni. This was the largest market segment in the car market, the small car segment, and this is where they entered. They created a big position for themselves in this segment, consolidated, and then entered the market by offering the Gypsy. A little time further down, they introduced the Maruti 1000. After they introduced the Maruti 1000, a couple of years later, they introduced two more products, which is the Maruti Esteem and the Maruti Zen. As they went along, they introduced the Baleno. After they introduced the Maruti Baleno, they came up with a slew of products in the lower part of the market. They came up with the Alto, they came up with the Wagoneer, they came up with the Swift, they came up with the Swift Desire, they came up with the Maruti Eco, and therefore created a product at different price points for all segments of the car market below 10 lakh rupees. If you see, Maruti doesn't have a very large range of products in the 10 lakh upward category car market. The segment by segment approach reduces the exposure that the company may have to a marketing risk, and also reduces the risk of operation. If one segment doesn't do well, the other segment may continue to do well. This is a typical example of a segment by segment invasion of Company C. This is the product variety. They are manufacturing computers, personal computers, mid-sized computers, and large computers. And they are selling it to three customer groups: the airlines, the railroads, and the truckers. So if you take, for example, Company C has come up with personal computers and is offering it to truckers. It may next offer the personal computers to the railroads, then enter into the mid-sized computer market for railroads, and then offer the large computers to truckers. So in this way, it is entering each different segment of the market at different points in time and consolidating its position before going to the next segment. This is an example of segment by segment invasion of the market. The Company C, follow the arrow marks, the arrow marks indicate the order in which, or the hierarchy in which, the company enters different market segments. So we have now finished the S and T of STPD, which means we have completed the segmentation and targeting. We will now look at product differentiation and positioning. Now, differentiation is how the marketeer tries to differentiate his product from other competing products available in the marketplace. What is really and critically important to the customer is not the real differences between the product, but the perceived difference that the marketeer can create in the mind of the customer. Product differentiation allows organizations to create products that can be differentiated in the market and allows differential pricing to be charged, therefore earning higher profits. On the demand side, it provides the customer with a larger variety of goods and services. The tangible part of the product can be used as a fundamental product differentiator, whereas there could be intangible elements like brand, product image, company image, warranty, after sales service, service level agreements or SLAs, which can be used to create differentiation at the augmented product level or the intangible level. Specific differentiation can happen in terms of higher quality. A company can offer products of superior quality. For example, Siemens offers superior products in the electrical and electronic industry. A product can be designed to give higher status and image. Branded products, for example, if you're buying a Arrow shirt, the Arrow shirt gives you a higher status and image, and therefore the differentiation point is on the status and image. You can create brand names. A brand name can be a point of differentiation. For example, Coke is the most expensive brand in the world, and that has created its own differentiation. One can create differentiation by using convenience. Products are easy to use, convenient to use. Philips is an example of a company. In fact, their tagline is making things simpler, and they are using convenience as a method of creating differentiation. Or you can create differentiation by changing distribution channels. An example of that is network marketing companies like Amway or Tupperware. They change the distribution channels and therefore create differentiation of products through a different channel of network. Positioning. Positioning is the mental space that the product occupies in the mind of the customer. It is not something that you do to the product. It is what you do to the customer's mind. And positioning is a method which most customers use to give us mental space to that product in their own mind. Positioning statement is a method of defining to the customer what space the product should typically occupy in the mind of the customer. So for coffee drinkers, the example brew. Brew has been positioned as an instant coffee, which is very similar to filter coffee. Why has this been done? In India, which is the coffee drinking states are South India, and in South India, filter coffee is the best form of coffee to drink. And hence, brew has been positioned as an equivalent to a filter coffee. Now, positioning can also be used to create differentiation. And this is how the marketeer will try to differentiate his product from the competition by differentiating it by positioning it in a different way. The logic of the positioning is to arrange the product to occupy a very clear, distinctive, and desirable position in the mind of the customer. And that is what positioning does. Positioning approaches. You can do a positioning of a product on the basis of attribute, on the basis of price, on the basis of quality, on the basis of use, on the basis of application, on the basis of the user, on the basis of the product class, or on the basis of competition. So you may have a different approach to how positioning is done from the perspective of the customer. The only point to remember is you should make sure that the positioning statement that you come up with meets some specific need or requirement of the customer or the market or the segment in which you choose to operate. Summarizing, a market is composed of individuals or organizations who have the ability and authority to exchange their disposable income or purchasing power for the product that is offered. Market segmentation is the process of dividing the market into groups of customers with similar needs and wants. Undifferentiated targeting is an approach to marketing or segmentation in which the market has no individual segments and treats the market as one big homogeneous mass requiring one single product and one single marketing mix. It is a mass marketing philosophy which views the world as one big market with no individual segments. Thank you so much for your time and attention.